Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and I am here today with Jeremy Ryan Slate. Jeremy is the founder of the Create Your Own Life podcast, celebrating people to create life on their terms. He studied literature at Oxford University and is a former champion powerlifter turned new media entrepreneur. He specializes in using podcasting and new media to create celebrity and was ranked number one in iTunes New and Noteworthy and number 26 in the business category. Jeremy was named one of the top 26 podcasts for entrepreneurs to listen to in 2017 by CIO Magazine and Millennial Influencer, to follow in 2018 by BuzzFeed, and Millennial Influencer to follow in 2018 by BuzzFeed. The Create Your Own Life podcast has been downloaded almost 250,000 times. He's also a featured writer for Influensive and Business.com. After his success in podcasting, Jeremy and his wife, Brielle, founded Command Your Brand to help entrepreneurs get their message out by appearing as guests on podcasts. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting Jeremy in person a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, almost 2 years ago now,
yeah,
at the first New Media Summit event where he was a new icon. So thank you so much for being with me here today on the show, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to have you and an honor.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be hanging out with you here today.
Yeah, I'm stoked to have you. So I always start the show by asking about the calling, because I believe men on purpose have a calling. So, You know, new media is a really new place for people to be playing. So you clearly got the call to step into that space and really do something powerful with the Create Your Own Life podcast. So I'd love to hear a little backstory about where did that idea come from and, you know, what the calling was for you, like how that experience was when you first received that calling and stepped in and said yes.
The honest answer is I failed at a lot of things. And I was basically like, well, I love podcasts. Who are the people that I'd really like to learn from? And that's really, I guess, where it came from for me is I had my, you know, school degree was I was going to be a history teacher. I was going to be a professor in that. I had a degree from Seton Hall and Oxford University. And I taught high school for a couple of years. Wasn't super, super happy. My mom ended up having a stroke in 2012. And that was really, really tough on me. And that kind of sent me down a path of trying to do something different. So I started network marketing. Didn't really work out. I started selling products on Amazon. Didn't work out. Sold life insurance. Also didn't work out. But then I was like, you know, what do I really want to do that I can learn? And I actually had started building websites at a friend's digital marketing company. And I basically taught myself how to do it from like reading blog posts and YouTube videos and stuff. So I ended up doing that. And I was like, well, what am I going to do to really, I guess, scratch this entrepreneurial itch or really help others? And that's where Create Your Own Life came from. So I'm like, all right, well, who are the people I most want to learn from? And I don't know, I guess a lot of people bought into my vision early on, which is not something a lot of people see success with. But for me, it was just tied very much to this personal experience of like, right after I had quit my job teaching, my dad's like, what are you doing quitting your job? I want to create my own life, dad. And he's like, well, good luck with that, buddy. And it was kind of this thing that was said in angst and, you know, fast forward down the road and my dad's my biggest fan now. But I think a lot of people have really, you know, tied into that and can really support that. And I know even when I got a chance to interview Grant Cardone, he's like, damn, man, yeah, I wanted to do that. I did that. And I think that's something that really a lot of people bought into. So because of that, you know, the audience has been drawn to that and the people I've gotten to talk to have really been drawn to that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, there's two ways I want to go here. The first thing I want to ask you about is this failure thing, because, you know, a lot of times people don't talk about that process. And
especially in online marketing.
Yeah. You know, nobody wants to talk about, you know, falling on your face in the middle of a launch or, you know, putting out that you're going to pay your partners $100,000 and you aren't making 10. There's so many times in life where we are engaged in something that's not working out. Mm-hmm. And so many people are like really brainwashed to believe mm-hmm. if you just work hard enough, it's going to work out, you know? And so I really feel like you had a lot of courage to be able to say, you know what? This isn't working out. I'm going to try something else. This isn't working out. I'm going to try something. I mean, like you did this multiple times. People go 30 years in stuff that's not working out before mm-hmm. they finally get awareness. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about the courage that you had and also this self-awareness. Like, where does that come from at such a young age to be able to say, you know what? This isn't working out. I'm going to try something else.
You know, I'd like to say that it was this profound, you know, clarity I had and I was clairvoyant and all these things. And I just don't think that's really the case because I think early on, I kind of realized like, first of all, you got to get over yourself, right? Like that, I think that's one of the toughest things is, you know, the network marketing thing like wasn't working out. And I kept going at it again and again and again because one of the people I had tried to bring into my business was my cousin who was my best friend. And we had this kind of, you know, knockdown, drag out argument where he goes, you know, I know what you're doing and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to see you fail. And we haven't talked in, gosh, like maybe 7 years now at this point. But like, because of that, I stayed in it a lot longer than I should have because I'm like, oh, well, I can't make him right. I can't make him right that I failed. And I think sometimes you have to look at like, you know, what effect are you creating, right? Like, how is this affecting your family, yourself, others around you? Would I like to say like, oh my gosh, I was so self-aware and I had so much clarity and I have all this stuff. But I think sometimes it just kind of starts with getting over yourself and just kind of putting one foot in front of the other and slowly kind of moving along and taking a look at what you're doing. But also as well, like looking at like, does this opportunity serve me? Does this opportunity help me to serve others? And I think as long as you can keep measuring what you're doing against that, it's a really good measuring stick to be working with.
Beautiful. Well, can you talk a little bit about the courage piece? I really would like you to go into that because it really does take courage to be self-aware enough to stop multiple things.
Sure.
Multiple things.
I don't really see it as courage though. You know what I mean? Because it's like somebody that was picked on a lot as a kid. I was somebody that, you know, I was never quite the most athletic. I was never quite the most like gifted. I didn't really stick to a lot of things. So like for me, like, I don't know, like, failing at things didn't really hurt that much, if you know what I mean. Like I kind of had this like ability to tolerate it that.
Yeah, built-in resilience.
Yeah, and like to be successful, you have to be okay with failing. You know what I mean? Because it's going to happen, man. Like I was listening to Jared Glant talk on the Young Hustlers podcast this morning. He's saying like, you got to be okay with getting on sales calls and sounding absolutely horrible. Like you got to be okay with that because eventually you do 10,000 of these things, you're going to sound great. I don't see it as courage. I see it as more or less like, you know, like, I had been okay with it for so long that, you know what, it didn't work. Let's try something else. And also, I think the piece with what happened with my mom was also really tough too, because that emotionally taxed me to a point that nothing else had before. Like I had, when I was 19, I was playing football. I stepped in a drain, tore three major ligaments in my knee and got last rites. Like they told the doctor, told my parents I wasn't going to make it. And it didn't affect me because, you know, you're 19 years old. You're like, whatever. Okay. I want my bagel. I'll be happy after this. But like when it was something outside of myself and it was apparent, like it really kind of shook my universe. You know what I mean? It was like really a tough thing. So I do feel like, I guess maybe that really tested me as well. Like, I don't know. I feel like I've faced a lot of tough situations, you know, even in my 20s, early 20s, mid 20s, and, you know, into my 30s, that failing hasn't really bothered me that much because I'm willing to push through.
Mm, yeah. Now, how is your mom now? Is she recovered or is she still
to a point like yeah. she's still with us. Like luckily my mom got to see me get married 3 years ago, got to see my first child born in October, but she, you know, she can't talk anymore, she can't work anymore, and she can't use the right side of her body. So yeah, she's still with us. She still gets to help take care of the baby, which is amazing. But that for me was kind of an experience that really, I guess, changed my worldview and changed a lot of things for me.
Sure. I hear that. My mom had a stroke and actually she just passed a few weeks
sorry
ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, she had a very long, long life and yeah, no sorries. It was actually for the best. So
got it.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, Jeremy, I do want to talk about this whole idea of creating your own life because mm-hmm. I actually believe that we are at the beginning of what I like to call the creative age. Mm-hmm. Like we lived through the you know, the Bronze Age and the Stone Age and the Agrarian Age. And then we had the Industrial Age and then the Information Age. And I believe we're at the dawning of what I like to call the Creative Age. And I see you as a Creative Age leader. And in the creative age, literally you get to create your own life. You create something out of nothing. And so I love that you actually said those words and then went from there to create not only your own life, but this podcast called Create Your Own Life. So can you talk a little bit about your creative process? Like, what happened as those ideas were coming through, and, you know, what made you decide to go in the direction other than that you really like podcasts? I mean, it is a process to build a podcast. So talk about the creative process, if you would, and how that works for you.
Well, I think first off, you're like totally right about this whole idea of like being in a creative age, because like a lot of jobs and stuff are disappearing. So to actually like be able to do something, we have to create what we want to do. Like, you know what I mean? And I think like the idea of what I was doing, I think for me kind of like came from this place of like, I don't know, almost feeling like I was on a chessboard, right? Like, I think we feel like that because, you know, neither of my parents went to college. So for them, like going to college was like this big thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like, what do you do with that? And because of that, you just kind of follow this path and there's no real creativity, right? Society like knocks it out of us. And I don't know, to me, like it was just following curiosity. Like that's what creativity looks like for me, is I'm following curiosity. When I was younger, I would sit and read history books for hours. I was obsessed with Alexander the Great for many, many years. I read a lot of Tolkien. I read a lot of Chesterton, Lewis. Like I read a lot and I kind of experienced a lot of stuff like that. I don't know, so I feel like I've always had a great imagination, and I don't know, society doesn't really want us to use that, right? So like for me, it was kind of interesting. You like, you step out and you get to start using this. So like, that's kind of what the podcast has been like me, has been exploring my curiosity. Like no joke, when Wikipedia first came out, I would sit and like follow the wormhole of articles for hours and hours and hours of learning all this stuff. But I also think like in terms of like really learning about somebody in a great interview, that curiosity really helps to guide you. So I don't know that I really have a creative process, but I'm always following curiosity. Like, oh, that's interesting to me. What happened there? Or I don't quite understand why this happened. Or, I don't quite understand why that occurred. And you really find some really interesting information, because in that like gray area or that missing area is actually where the gold is. That's where the real learning points are. So I don't know if that's a great answer to your question, because I don't know that I really have a creative process, but for me, it's always following curiosity.
That's a creative process. That's perfect, Jeremy. You did great. I really appreciate how clear you were with that. That's exactly a creative process. Nice work.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we have to go to break right now, and I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. We are now being downloaded in 70 countries. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Morocco. Thank you for tuning in, and we will be right back with Jeremy Slate.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Jeremy Slate, who is the founder and host of the Create Your Own Life podcast and the founder of Command Your Brand. And you can find out more about Jeremy at commandyourbrand.media/checklist. And there you're going to find a checklist of what you need to do to become a great podcast guest. So if you are a listener out there and you're curious about what it might be like to create life as a virtual speaker or a podcast guest, Jeremy's the man to go get in touch with in order to get all of the pieces of the puzzle that you need to put in place in order to be a great guest. So Jeremy, can you also talk a little bit more about exactly, specifically, and precisely what you're doing with both the podcast and with Command Your Brand, because now you're using your curiosity and your creativity to expand yourself. And mm-hmm. so I'd love to hear, like, where did Command Your Brand come from? And what do you see as next on your curiosity horizon?
Totally. I feel like the podcast continues to evolve, right? Like, it's like, all right, people that create their own life. And I'm like, well, that's really, really broad. And then it became like people that create their own life, but as high performers. So now I'm getting to talk to some incredible people, and I'm continually, you know, leveling up the caliber of the incredible people I get to talk to. Like, we had Danica Patrick on the show not too long ago. I have Jason Momoa coming on the show in September. So we have some really cool people that have come on the show. And I've also wanted to, we've had this desire to help support people that are like doing things at a high level. And about 3 years ago, that's where Command Your Brand Media came from, because we were looking at it and we're like, really, for me, like, I was Joe Nobody before I started a podcast or before I appeared on podcasts. So we just see this power of being a guest on amazing shows and telling your story, and even like knowing what to do with the content. Because I think too many times people think that first and foremost, this interview is the end, right? They think, okay, great. I got to hang out with Emeril. I answered her questions. I talked to her audience. Okay, cool. Let's see what happens. But so many times it's like, how are you going to repurpose that? How are you going to market to your email list? How are you going to create video content from this stuff? So like, really what we've done is we've put together this entire storytelling process of like, well, what does your story look like to give you permission to be able to teach what you want to teach, and then put together a call to action where people are actually going to be like, wow, okay, this person is amazing. I need to work with them or learn from them. So we really do that first. Then we really find the perfect shows for people, help them get booked, but then also teach them like, hey, what do you do with this? Because I know we had a client that was basically teaching podiatrists how to take their practice and like expand them. And just by doing a podcast, marketing it to his own email list, he had somebody walk up to him at an event and hand him a check for $10,000. But it's about like knowing like, what are you going to do with this? Because I think so many times people think that like the feature is the be all end all. And it's not. It's part one, part two, part three, part four, part five is what are you going to do with it? Because this thing can feed you for years.
Sure. Well, I love that, Jeremy. And I love the idea of, you know, just really taking the experience that you have when you are a guest on the show and capitalizing on that, really mm-hmm. maximizing on that in service to putting cash flow in your bank account too. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about cash flow, because mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I think a lot of people, you know, when I tell people that I'm a podcast host, the first thing, usually guys, and of course, when I'm talking to people about being a podcast host, it's generally guys because it's the Men on Purpose podcast. The first thing that comes out of their mouth is, how are you monetizing that? How are you monetizing that? And so it's really funny because I got very clear myself mm-hmm. that it was really important for me to actually not answer their question with an answer, but instead answer their question with a question. Like, really, why would you want to know? You know, are you interested in finding out more about monetizing your own message? So can you talk a little bit about monetizing in a world that you are literally creating your own life? Part of being in the creative age, I think, is unmeshing ourselves from this old industrialized mindset of go to college, get a job, work for 30 years, get the watch, retire, or even change jobs, you know, whatever. And in the creative age, it's literally we're creating something new almost on a daily basis. And so money is one of those bridges between the worlds mm-hmm. that I think people want to actually be able to create their own life. But they're afraid. They're mm-hmm. afraid that the cash flow is not going to be there. And mm-hmm. and I'm somebody who's been creating my own life since 2001. So
yeah.
I know that the cash is there when you are present and clear in what you're doing. So mm-hmm. can you talk a little bit about cash flow and creating money in the new media and then in the new creative age?
Well, I'll talk about it specifically with podcasting, I think, because this is something that has been coming up more and more and more. And I'm actually in week four of a 6-week intensive I'm teaching right now on how to run your podcast like a business. Because I think too many times, like, people look at, like you were just saying, you know, they look at, you know, the income unit of money, like how much are you making off that? And like the thing I think people don't quite understand is the podcast is not the end product, right? It's the center of a PR and branding strategy, right? It's the content engine that runs everything else you do. Like, your podcast and your business should not be two separate entities, right? Like my podcast is the PR division that promotes my business. So I think first and foremost, that's the mindset you need to have about it. But second, it's like approaching it like a professional, right? Like having good branding, having good content, interviewing the people that are the opinion leaders in your space. You know what I mean? Because that helps to raise your opinion leader status, which also helps to grow your business and bring in more money there. And also like when you're putting together your show, looking at like the lead magnets and stuff you're doing on your show should lead people into a relationship with your business. I think far too often people are like, all right, I'm going to build this thing up. We're going to get up to 100,000 downloads an episode and we're going to get a CPM of $25 and this is going to be amazing. And it's just like that model doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that anymore. In 2012, sure. 2019, absolutely not. So you have to have that strategy that your podcast is kind of like the storefront and your business is the back end. You can still monetize with strategies like advertising. If you're going to do the traditional cost per thousand, you're really not going to make money that way. You can look at like a cost per episode. You can look at value exchanges for advertising spots, things like that. And also even partnerships. Like your guests could actually be talking about their service on their show. And if somebody buys off that show, you could then make money. So you need to be thinking of there's not only one way to do it. And I think that even goes back to now just your podcast aside, looking at your business, like your business needs to have some sort of recurring revenue product in it, right? Like, and that's why for me, we're putting a big push this year into having more digital products in our business, because you need to have that recurring revenue that's going to generate income, whether you're working or not, because we do have an agency side that is a lot of work. And sometimes you're with a client for a long time. And because of that, you need to have other sources of income at the same time. So I think that's how this kind of digital age has changed a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I started this podcast a year ago, January, and it wasn't until probably about a month and a half ago that I became aware that I actually had a top 200 podcast on iTunes.
Nice.
And then the interesting thing that I discovered as a result of that was that actually 200,000 podcasts launched last year.
Yeah.
So to be in top 200 with a podcast in a year where 200,000 podcasts launched, not counting all the other podcasts that were already out there, I got pretty excited about the Men on Purpose podcast.
And there's like 660,000 podcasts out there, which is crazy.
Yeah, we're doing a good job here.
Yeah, it's impressive, right?
Yeah, and you know, when we are talking to people who might be interested in using a podcast or starting a podcast, I love what you said about like making sure like the podcast is not your business.
No, it's not.
Is a window into your business, and it's not your business. But
it's an easy way to get attention and PR, right? Because you can get a lot of accolades for this.
Sure.
When you know your business might not quite be as interesting to people. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. All right. Well, so as we are creating and following your curiosity, as you're following your curiosity and creating, what is on your radar for what you're creating next? And what do you do to check in with yourself and hold yourself accountable as you're going through a process of creation?
I have my wife. It's interesting because I'm very much the creative and she's very much, okay, well, we're step one, we're step two, we're step three. So I think a lot of times it's having somebody to have you accountable and making sure you write those plans out. Because oftentimes I'll go down like a whole track where I'm like, you know, working on building a marketing funnel for 2 days. And she's like, well, that's great, but where does that fit in these steps? So I think sometimes you have to have the right people to support you, know what you're good at, know what you're not good at, and make sure you're putting dates on things and you're putting times on things, because you're gonna go way off a left field. And for me, my secret weapon is my wife.
It's funny, the podcast episode that aired today, the day that you and I are recording, the guy answered the same way.
It's his really?
It's his wife. Yeah. So. So what about our men on purpose out there that don't have a wife?
I don't know, because I wasn't in business when I didn't have a wife or a very steady girlfriend.
All right. Well, one final question, and then I'm going to let you go to your brand new baby and your wife and find out what's the next step in the agenda. How do you celebrate when you accomplish something, Jeremy?
I'm actually really bad at this, believe it or not. My wife is great at this. So generally, it's something I've been trying to focus on a lot more, because I think so many times I'm interested in the next thing I got to do. Whereas like if you don't celebrate the win, it feels like you're not winning, even though you actually are. So it's, you know, we're making time to like, hey, we just had a great day. Let's go to dinner. Or, you know, let's celebrate with a trip. Or let's do this or let's do that. Because like too often, I've never been really good at celebrating. So for me, that's actually something I've been trying to actively do more, because I've always been focused on the next goal. And you don't see all the wins that you had. And you don't feel like you're winning when you're doing it that way.
Exactly. And it does lead to some serious burnout if you don't celebrate. Celebration is actually a magical tool to fuel you for the next accomplishment that you're seeking to accomplish. So we are very close to the end. Is there one final thing that you would like to offer our listeners, either about how they can create their own life, or if they are in business and they want to command their brand, how they can command their brand? So either one or both.
I would say, I'll give you both. I would say if you're going to command your brand, you really got to get your message down, and you really got to make sure you're talking to your people. I feel like too many times people want a message that resounds with everybody. And when that happens, your message resounds with no one. So if you really want to do that, it has to be the right message to the right people. In terms of creating your own life, like I think far too many times people are like, especially with my generation, I feel like we're really bad at this. I'm a quote unquote millennial, but I feel like they're like, oh, I'm not passionate about that, so I'm just going to do nothing. And I think too many times it's looked at that way. One of my favorite books is called So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. And he talks about finding out what you're good at, focusing on that, and getting so damn good at that that you get passionate. And I think that's what you really have to do, is look at your skill set, look at things you enjoy, and keep pushing at them and getting better at them. Not just saying, well, you know, I'm going to go follow my passion and go hang out with the unicorns or something like that. It's just like, for me, that's just not something that's going to produce money in the long term.
Yeah, well, and so I do want to talk about money and purpose, because I think it's both, you know. You want to be creating money, but you also want to be serving a good purpose.
100%.
Okay, great. Awesome. All right, Jeremy. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I want to remind everyone, you can find out more about Jeremy at commandyourbrand.media/checklist. We're going to have that in the show notes for you as well. And listeners, we love feedback. So please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open, and remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions, and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.